So often we hear this expression, kenayna hora, or beli ayin hora, or kenayna hora. What does it mean? What's it for? Is it necessary? What is the significance of it? You know what it's like, two women meet each other. Hello, Sadie, how are you? How are your children? Oh, kenayna hora, what's your oldest one doing? Oh, he's a doctor, kenayna hora. And what's your second one doing? Oh, he's an accountant, kenayna hora. What's your third one doing? Well, he's in Wormwood Scrubs for tax fraud, kenayna hora. What is kenayna hora? What's it all about? What does it mean? And there are some people who are very, very worried about the effects of ayin hara. Is it justified? Is there something behind it? Or is it something superstitious? I remember how my parents, Zichronon Debracha, told us children that when it came to their 25th wedding anniversary, they didn't want to fuss, they didn't want any parties, because they said it could attract an ayin hara. I heard a case of somebody who went to the late Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. Somebody who was wealthy, but everything started going wrong for him. And the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva said to him, stop driving around with your personalized number plate. It's attracting an ayin hara. He complied with the request, and afterwards everything went well for him. Maaseh Shehaya. What is behind this? Now, we've got a couple of psukim here and there where Rashi alludes to ayin hara. You haven't got the chumashim in front of you, but in Parshas Vayechi, we know the famous pasuk Hamalach Hagalal Osimi Kol Ra, where Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh. Hamalach Hagalal Osimi Kol Ra Vareches Tanorim VeYikorei Vohem Shemi V'Shem Avosai Avraham VeYitzchok. So this is in chapter 48, verse 16. What does it mean, v'yidgu l'orov b'kerev oretz? V'yidgu comes from the word dog, which means a fish, and that you should be able to multiply like fish. And what does Rashi say? Kedogim halolu sheporim v'robin, that fish multiply greatly, the ein ein hara sholetes bohem. And there is no ein hara on fish. What does it mean there's no ayin hara on fish? Well, you don't really see fish that well when they're swimming because they're below water level. I've heard someone here once say it's something to do with the fact that fish don't have eyelids, but there's no such thing as ayin hara with fish. We find in the same parsha in Vayechi another reference to the idea of ayin hara, and that's just one chapter later in Mem Tes, Posuk Kaf Beis. Where Yaakov Avinu is giving the brachas to the various shvatim, and when he refers to Yosef, he says, Ben Paros Yosef, Ben Paros Ale Oyin, Bonos Tzado Ale Shur. Yosef is a fruitful son by a fountain, and the daughters run over the wall, that is to gaze at him, that the Egyptian girls were running and look, to look at him. And Rashi there also brings that because of Yosef HaTzadik, there is no such thing as ayin hara. This is brought to the Gemara, we'll talk about in a moment. On Benos Tzadu Ali Shur, it's here in the Rashi, that there is no ayin hara sholet on him. So what is ayin hara? Is there something then reality about it, or is it something superstitious? We know from the Parsha of Kisiso, in the book of Shemos, Perek Lamud, that when a census was to be carried out, you must not count in the normal manner people, because it can give rise, says Rashi, to ayin hara. So what is ayin hara? The Maharal says that ayin hara is really something as a result of somebody who might be saying a subconscious sort of prayer. Somebody might say, why is it that this fellow has so and so much money? And the Maharal says that every single prayer which you make to Hashem is answered, even though it might not be answered in the way that you hope for it to be answered. And sometimes you might even say something which is subconscious or spontaneous. Why does this fellow have such and such? And that then is like a prayer that can have a harmful effect upon another person. Let's have a look at the Gemaras which you've got in front of you. The first one you have is Brochus Daf Kaf, Omud Aleph. You should have two sheets. We should also have Nun Hey Omud Beis. Yeah, if we look just after halfway down the page, there are two dots where it starts with Rav Gidl, although the main part has a little arrow further down. Rav Gidl have a rogel zahave ka ozol v'yisiv ashari tevila. Rav Gidl used to sit by the doorway of the mikveh, where women would go in, something which is certainly forbidden nowadays, in order to maintain dignity and tzinius. And men should be are told not to park their cars immediately outside the mikveh when they pick up their wives. But Rav Gidl used to sit in front of them, and he used to say to them how they should dip. So the rabbi said to him, surely when you look at all these women, aren't you affected by the yetzara? He says, well, they just all look like a bunch of white geese to me. Well, I'm not sure if that's complimentary or insulting, but he didn't feel as though it had a harmful effect on him. Now the next part, Rabbi Yochanan have rogil dahave ka ozil yisiv ashari tevila. The Rabbi Yochanan, he was accustomed to sit by the entrance to the mikveh, where women went in for their dip. Omar ki sol kam benos yisol oslo mitzvila. So when the Jewish women, they're coming to dip in the mikveh mistaklon bi, they will stare at me, they will look at my face. He was very handsome, or so he was told. He was a very good looking man, and it was believed in the Hevel HaZaro de Shafir Kavusi that if they would stare at him, then the effect of it would be to put their minds to some good looking babies, which they would then give birth to afterwards. I don't know what the scientific basis is of that, but that was the belief. Amrele Rabbonon. So the rabbi said to him, Loko Mustafa Imar Me'ino Bisho, aren't you worried about Ayin Hora? Eino Bisho is the Aramaic form of Ayin Hora. All these women come and see you're so good looking. Maybe their husbands are not as good looking as you are, and they're jealous, and it might give rise to Ayin Hora. It's the jealousy which would cause Ayin Hora, the evil eye. Omalahu, he said to them, Ona Mizara de Yosef, Koasino. I come from the seed of Yosef. Delo Shalto Ba'ino Bisho. And there is no such thing as Ayin Hora for those who are descended from Yosef. Ichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ben Paros Yosef, Ben Paros Ale Ayin, as we just quoted before. Lam Rabbi Bo, Altifi Ale Ayin, Ela Ole Ayin. Which, so the quality of the eye in of being superior nature, there would be no such thing as Ayin Hora. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Omar, so Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina said, Mehocho, I learned it out from this pasuk, the Yidgu Lorov, the Kerev HaOretz. Ma Dogim Shovim Maim Machasim Aleihem, just like with fish, the water covers them, Vein Ayin Hora Sholetes Bohem, and therefore the evil eye doesn't rule over them. Of Zarashel Yosef, so similarly, those who are descended from Yosef, Ein Ayin Hora Sholetes Bohem, it doesn't affect them. The boy Seymour, and if you want, I can say further to explain the idea of Ayin Hora as far as Yosef is concerned. Ayin Shelo Rotsot Lozun Mimash Eino Shelo. If the eye does not feed itself on what does not belong to it, Ein Ayin Hora Sholetes Bohem, and then Ayin Hora can't affect it. What does that mean? That as Yosef HaTzadik did not give in to his Yetzirah by falling for Potiphar's wife, that gave him the strength to withstand any Ayin Hora, and we got this Zechus Ovos that we are descended from him, and therefore we are not either affected by Ayin Hora. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that although Yosef was one particular tribe, Ephraim and Manasseh were, we regard ourselves, all of us, as being descended from Yosef, Hatzadik, and that we should benefit from this zechus, that we are not vulnerable to the Ayin Hara. Nevertheless, the whole subject of Ayin Hara gives rise to many questions, but let's first look at this other Gemara we have, in Daf Nun Hei. You have two-thirds of the way down a tiny arrow there. Pesach Izoch. Have we got that? So he was saying, Hai man de ayla masa. If a person is new in a town, v'dochel me'in abisha, and he's worried about ayin hora, Linka zikfo di do zimine biyodo de smole. He should take his right hand and hold it over his left arm, and then also the other way round, the zikfo di do de smole biyodo zimino, and take his left arm and put it in his right hand. What does that mean? Well, we'll explain that in a moment. Zalema hochi, and he should say, Ono paloni ba paloni, my name is such and such, Mizara de Yosef, because you know, and I come from Yosef. Zelo Sholto Bay Einobisha, who was not affected by Ayin Hara, Shemaj, it says, Ben Paros Yosef, Ben Paros Ale Oyin. Al Tikra Ale Oyin, as we said before, Elo Olo Oyin. Chenino, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanino, Oma Mehocha Vizgolo, the Kerev Oretz, Madogim Shovim, Mai Mechasim Aleim, Veino Narama Sholet Espohem, as we said before, Avzo Shal Yosef, Ein Hain Hara Sholet Espohem. Now, the explanation of the right hand and the left arm seems a bit mystical, but the Pardes Yosef writes that the right hand represents the work one does for oneself, and the left hand is what the energy one gives over to others. When one is new in the town, if you are very successful straight away, there'll be jealousy. So the first thing you do when you come to town and make yourself known is to help others and put your strength into helping others, and then you give yourself a better reputation, and then there will be less jealousy as a result. So we've seen a couple of the main Gemaras. We've spoken about the Eishes Potiphar, which Yosef HaTzadik did not fall for, and the Targum Yonason there talks about the fact that they called him Avreich. Yosef is called Avreich because the girls, the Egyptian girls, were throwing amulets at Yosef, and he would not look up at them. He didn't want to be distracted by their beauty, so he was zocher as a result not to receive the Ayin Hara. Now the Zatzar Rav in a tshuva actually says that just like we need a mechitza so that men don't see women, he thinks we should also have a mechitza that women should not see the men, because otherwise there might be Ayin Hara. But the Sattler Rav responded to this and said, no, it's not necessary. And we know just because the girls looked at Yosef and he allowed them to look at him, and also the women looked at Shaul, he allowed ladies to look at him, so a one-way mirror is okay. So says the Sattler Rav. Now the Oruch writes on this word Ale Oyin, not only that the Ayin Hara does not affect you, but the ayin will do you good. It will be causing you benefit. Sora Imenu actually caused ayin hora on Hogar. Hine hora v'yaladet bein. But it's written that there was a miscarriage first before this baby arrived. Why? Because Sora Imenu gave an ayin hora on Hogar. Somal shichmo. And Rashi there refers to why on her back, because there was an Ayin Hara. And some say she actually cursed her. But Ayin Hara is not a curse, it's not a klala, it's something which is more passive. We know that Yaakov Avinu, in Parsha of Miketz, he warned the 10 sons to go through different entrances when they go to Mitzrayim. There are different reasons given, not to attract attention to themselves, but one of the reasons given is to avoid the Ayin Hara. The Osimo Eini Olov we have with Yosef. And so there the Targum Yonason also says this is referring to the Ayin Hara. Now, is it possible for the Ayin Hara to be so strong as to go against Hashem's own deeds, Hashem's own work? It's quite amazing, because the Rashi on the Tanchuma talks about the second Luchos after the first luchos were broken and there were the second luchos, why were the first luchos broken? Alright, we know it was the Egel Hazov and so on, but there was an Ein Hara. Bilam HaRosha had the power to know that Ein Hara can be destructive. And it was the peoples of the world, with all the pomp and circumstance that surrounded the first luchos, there was the kolos of Rokim, va'anon koleid alohar, and as a result of that, there was an Ein Hara on the first luchos. They were broken, and then we had all the problems with the Egel Azov. So how can it be? An Ein Hara can actually be destructive on a Maisel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that was the case. And so with the second luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go up discreetly, and not to make a big fuss, that when he goes up, in order not to attract the Ein Hara. Now, what is it about fish? We said with fish, you don't see them actually properly because they're below the water level. But there is another thing about the fish. Fish swim in cold water. And so, the idea is that there is always coldness there. There's never anything warm about the fish. And when a child is born, it needs the koach hachimum. It needs warmth. The child needs incubation. It needs to be wrapped up. Or premature children need incubators, electric incubators. They need warmth. And that the whole idea of peru or avu as the blessing is written by fish, that the water is cold. So there's a special bracha, says the Arach Chaim, that why is it with fish? That fish need that special bracha, because it says, Va'oth Yirev Ba'oret, it is the birds who are Yirev Ba'oret, that not to do with the fish, because the water is cold. And so, even though you are Bekerev Ha'oret, when we say in the bracha, V'yitzgularov Bekerev Ha'oret, Kerev Ha'oret means on dry land, that you should have the bracha fish of multiplying, but that you should not be in the cold, as it were. You should be Bekerev Ha'oret. Now, the Vilna Gaon, in the Aderes Eliyahu, says, when you get a bracha, it doesn't always work straight away. It takes time to be fulfilled. And that's the Peshat, Liyid Gularov, Bekerev Ha'oretz. Why? Because the bracha was given to Ephraim and Manasseh, but were they really so plentiful? But it was only in the later on, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael in the first 7 years, that they had the bracha. And that's Peshat, Bekerev Ha'oretz, in Eretz Yisrael itself. Now we find this with the warning that Avram Avinu was given by Hashem. Hashem said, "Yodah teidak igei yezarachol be'eretz lo lohem, va'odem v'inu esom arba me'o shono." So the Rabbeinu B'chai says, why is this arba me'o shono? Why was it said 400 years? 400 is the gematria of Ayin Ra, a bad eye, and the largest letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Tov, which is 400. So when somebody looks upon you as being something big, as the highest, they see the Tov, the 400, and so the number 400 is related to Ayin Hara. Anyway, Halacha Lemaisa, the Stei Chemed writes that the Refuas, the alternative medicines which we were discussing last month, are nowadays not really applicable anymore, the ones which were given in the Gemara, because we respond differently. But there was one kind of refuah or segula, and that is the one with Ein Hara, which does work nowadays. And the Sefer Tami Amin Hogim actually has at the back a whole section on Ein Hara, with a long tefillah of the Lachash L'Ein Hara as to how to offset it. And others say that you should say Vani Tefillah C three times, and three times, and that would offset the Yetzer Hara. There are other remedies given, listed in the Sefer Segulos Yisrael, lots of different remedies to offset the effects of Ein Hara. One of them is to say 11 different psukim which start with Nun and end with Nun. There is a Gemara which is in fact in our Gemara in Brochus, which we haven't reached, which says that you should, if you are affecting somebody else with Ayin Hara, the way to stop it is to look down at your left nostril. What does this mean, look down on your left nostril? There's something very mystical about this. But he brings in here, in the Sefer Segulos Yisrael, What does it mean you look at your left nostril? So he quotes the Sefer Eretz Chaim that there are really Shiva Sha'orim Ba'Nefesh. There are seven gates to a person. Two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and the peh. And they correspond to the seven tzaddikim. Avram is the right eye, Yitzhak is the left eye, Yaakov is the right ear, Moshe is the left ear, Aaron is the right nostril, and Yosef has been compared to the left nostril, and David to the mouth. And the left nostril is symbolic for Yosef HaTzadik, who managed to avoid the Ayin Hora. Some say you should say, V'shem Bas Osher Sorach. Sorach Bas Osher was blessed with eternal life by Yaakov Avinu, and that would also offset the Ayin Hora. And there are others who say that you should stand by the mezuzah and say this pasuk, Ben Paros Yosef. Others say you should say the Oz Yashir, not just the Oz Yashir Moshe, but also the Oz Yashir Yisrael, which was done by the Be'er. And the Sefer Imre Shefer says, if everything you do is the Shem Shemayim, then you will never come to the harm of suffering from Ayin Hora. And another remedy is, stare at your tzitzis, and that will also offset the Ayin Hora. A very curious and strange subject, but there are a number of things which halacha lemaisa are brought to the Shulchan Aruch, because there are opinions as to whether there is such a thing as Ayin Hora, because we, as we said, Yosef HaTzadik, we're benefiting from the fact that we're descended from him, and he didn't get Ayin Hora, and therefore we don't, but nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, you don't call up two brothers, one after another, and the reason for that is Ayin Hora. People will see it, they'll be jealous, and it might cause Ayin Hora. This is a Mefurish Halacha in Arachayim, Shulchan Aruch. One should not stand in a neighbor's vegetable garden and watch the crops growing, or to count how much he's got. This is a Mefurish Halacha in Choshen Mishpat Shin Ayin Ches. The mystics say is that once you look at it and you count on it, it limits what's growing. Because the brach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he might grow for you in abundance, but once somebody sets their eyes on it and fixes their eyes on it, then it will not multiply in its brach. There's also, as we said, the census in counting, and this is brought down in the Gemara in Yomar Kaf Beis, and in the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham brings this in Kufnun and Vav, that when you are counting for a minion, you shouldn't count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you say, Havshir HaSamecho, Vayich Nachon HaSecho. And there are other pesukim, Chametz Yilechem Min Ha'aretz, the bracha is also 10 words, but you shouldn't go Dom Tzavadei Akinim Orov. There is the minhag at a pigeon aben to surround the baby with jewellery. All the women are asked to download their expensive jewellery in the hope that they'll get it back afterwards. And the reason there is to divert attention from the baby, anyone who might be jealous about this baby, and they'll be gazing instead at the jewellery. I haven't found any source for the idea of the red thread around the wrist, which one person remarked to me today that he forgot to wear his this morning. Presumably that if there is anything in it, the idea is to divert attention, to focus attention away from oneself fully to this red thread. But I haven't found any source for it, so I do not know if it might be a superstition. So, is it that you are doing a tefillah, which is subconscious, which is harming somebody else? Or is it that I might be weakening Hashem's will? If I look at another person's property and say, why have you got such a wonderful house? I might be withdrawing some of the koach of the hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a bracha for that person. Tov ayin hu yavorech, there is a posuk. That if you say kanai nahora to every single phrase, is it really meant to be that way? Should I say that my son kanai nahora is doing this, and my daughter kanai nahora is doing that? It seems that the halacha is that the reason why you say kanai nahora or bani ayin hara is that you are telling yourself when you speak that I'm not saying it out of jealousy, but I'm saying it out of praise. So it's really when I'm talking about Yenam, a third party, that when I speak about Moshe Pipik, that he has now got himself a beautiful car with a personalized number plate and a big mansion in Hansagan suburb, there are really two ways of saying it. I can say, oh, do you know, he was zoiche to receive a big brocha. Or I might say it in a different tone and say, huh, you know about him, He doesn't deserve it, but look what he's got. And that could be the Ayin Hara. So by saying the Li Ayin Hara, Kenayin Hara, about a third party, I am demonstrating that what I'm saying is not done with Ayin Hara, and is not done with jealousy, and that that person therefore should not suffer as a result. So sometimes you have to be demonstrative. Sometimes you have to be able to say something good about somebody. Just like we had the Kolos of Rokim and with the thunder, with the Masan Terot. But we have to tell ourselves, re others, Beli Ayin Hara. The jealousy which might be caused, bringing about Ayin Hara, we assume affects the person. But nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Yonah in Pekei Avos, Perek Beis, Tesain, says the jealousy doesn't really eat up the victim. It eats up the perpetrator. It's the person who's causing. We say that kinna taivan kovod motzienes ha'odom min ha'olam. So the kinna, the jealousy which comes about, is from oneself. And that is what's being caused. A fascinating subject. But I'm going to end off with something from the, which I heard from Shem the Baal Shem Tov. We say in the Pasuk, Bashamayim Mal Valo Oretz Mitochas. The heavens above and the earth below. What does the Baal Shem Tov say? He says, when it comes to Ruchnius, to spiritual matters, you should always look up at the person near you who is great in spiritual matters. You should emulate that person and take him as an example. Bashamayim, with spiritual matters, mima'al, you look up. But Oretz, when it comes to material matters, look at people who are less fortunate than you are. Look at people who have less than you have. And then you will feel fortunate. Vala Oretz, on Gashmias, materialistic matters, mitachas, look below you to see those people who are less fortunate than you. And then you will feel grateful. Because if you look at people who've got more than you have, and then the jealousy starts, and then the Ayin Hara can start, only bad can come from that. So we have to be thankful for what we have. And there, that puts into perspective what is a very curious subject, what looks like a rather mystical subject, but nevertheless has practical consequences, l'halacha. Thank you.